the earth and their words to the end of the world.
I love King David as a man after God's own heart. And that's essentially what we're trying to do, is be people of God's own heart. And one of the things I love about David was that he wasn't afraid of looking up in the stars and writing songs about them and praising them. He looked at God's canvas and said, man, I love that. I just want to sing about it. I want to talk about it. And while we're here, we have the opportunity to participate in the art appreciation of the canvas that God worked on, which is his universe. And though there are no words and no sounds that cry out to us, instead, it is the creation itself that's yelling, God is amazing. Yeah. God is holy.
Amen.
And so before we go out and start talking about the largeness and vastness of the universe, I want to practice a little bit of meditation together as we sit here. I think it's important we get grounded and be where you are right now. And then we're going to zoom out together. As we appreciate the canvas of God's creation, I want us to use all five senses. And so without saying anything, I want you to look around and find five things. What are five things that you see?
Fire.
Don't say anything. Just take a look at it. Take a look at God's creation. What are five things that you see? Be here right now. What are four things that you hear? What are three things that you're touching right now? Go with me on this one. What are two things you smell? And what is one thing that you taste? I am not an alien believer. I don't believe that there's aliens out there. I've tried and I really want to. But one of the things that keeps me from believing in aliens is that when I think about the vastness of the universe and the creation that God has made, and to think that there is no one else out there, it makes me kind of believe that all of the light years and galaxies that exist are simply a display of God's work just for us. We are his audience. We are the ones that he intended it for. I do want to just talk a little bit about the full moon tonight. It's a bummer that it's here. I wonder if you'll be able to see it. But before we go on hating about the moon or, you know, the fact that it is or not here or whatever, I do just want to give a little big ups to the moon. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Not to worship it, but just to recognize it. Space rocks that exist in our solar system are orbiting the sun at roughly 120,000 miles per hour. The main asteroid belt, it's an ocean of trillions of tons of rock and debris, and it exists between Mars and Jupiter. But when an asteroid gets pulled from its gravitational pull out of Mars, it gets launched out into orbit and it's sent like a freight train towards the inner solar system. And at times, it's headed straight towards Earth. Every day, tons of asteroids come into contact with the Earth's gravitational pull. However, our moon and its gravitational pull serves a bit like a bouncer at a club. It catches foreign masses and takes the brunt of the blow for us. In fact, our Earth has been preserved largely because of the existence of the moon absorbing impact that was intended for us. The moon serves both as a reminder that we are simply on a large rock hurtling through nothingness, and that God has put in place countless systems to protect us from harm. It gives new meaning to David's prayer in Psalm 23, where he says, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is an exam? What is a relationship struggle? What is some drama at home or at school? What is blank to God when you consider how God navigates us through the darkness of the universe, protecting us from stars and from rocks half the size of our earth? In 2016, Brielle and I had a chance to go over to Kathmandu, Nepal. And we went hiking. All right, Siri. As we went hiking through the Himalayan mountains, we looked in the distance after one peak and one break, and we saw what looked like the large mountains, and then we saw clouds. But upon further inspection, they weren't clouds. They were the white caps of Mount Everest. Wow. Mount Everest is huge, and that whole mountain range is huge, 5.4 miles above sea level. But if you think that's big, if you go underwater, there is a gap or there is a trench called the Mariana Trench that is nearly 7 miles below the sea level. Go with me on that for a second. Those are both very large objects, very large and very deep. If you were to take the top of Mount Everest and go all the way down, put it next to the Mariana Trench and go all the way down, that would be about 12 miles from top to bottom. Up and down. And that's tall and that is deep. However, when calculating the size of the earth, which the radius alone is 4,000 miles from core to surface, if you were to have a thumb roughly the size of a quarter of the earth, and you were to take your thumb and slowly glide your thumb over the crust of the earth, Mount Everest and Marianas Trench even involved, they would be so negligible that it would feel like your thumb is going over a cue ball. The things that are massive to us, if you consider God's size, are nothing to him. As we zoom out and move away from planet Earth, we love Earth. It's a good place to be. But if you zoom out and start moving away from planet Earth and you go into the first layer of the atmosphere, the low orbit satellites, you look down on the Earth and you're not able to see much, just the stars, just the lights of major cities like New York and Boston, Philadelphia and Tokyo. As you extend outward into the atmosphere and to meet the outer layer of the atmosphere, our very precious and very important cities are no longer recognizable. The lights cease to exist, and all you see are general continent sizes. No lights are visible from the city. We zoom out and we land on the moon. Congratulations. And you look at the earth, you no longer see continents. You may see the occasional weather pattern, like a hurricane or a storm moving through a system. You no longer see lights. Instead, you see green for land and blue for water. As you zoom out, and finally you go to Mars, you no longer see anything but totally blue. And our complex and very detailed and intricate and fast-moving pace of world becomes a little blue dot floating through space. We're so insignificant that if aliens, which I don't believe, were to enter into our solar system, they wouldn't be able to find us. Think about this for a second. Using telescopes, our planet is only 2 times the size of Jupiter's largest moon. They may find us there, but they would just consider us a blue rock. Using radio sensors, that might be their best bet, because we have 5G and internet and cars and satellites and phones and radiation and all these different things. Using radio sensors, aliens may scour the solar system looking for our radio waves. But our radio waves would be absolutely negligent. It wouldn't even register compared to the radio waves that are already present in between planets. Our existence would be ignored and chalked up to an error in the detection of their instruments. It's a real mystery that God doesn't misplace us. With a universe that is 94 billion light years wide, God knows exactly where you are. In Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, David cries out and sings to the Lord, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness, surely the galaxy will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." Isn't it incredible knowing that we are so small and so undetectable, yet God, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. He knows exactly where you are and what you're feeling, and he cares. Let's zoom out here to the Milky Way galaxy. If you were to look south in the sky, which is towards the parking lot, if you were to look south in the sky on a clear night, you might notice a cluster of stars that are brighter than everything else. In some places in the United States, you're actually able to see the core of the Milky Way galaxy. The name for the Milky Way galaxy, comes from a Greek myth from the goddess Hera, who sprayed milk across the sky. In China, they call our Milky Way galaxy the Silver River, Silver River. And in southern Africa, they call it the backbone of the night. Our solar system, right here from stars to Pluto, we still count Pluto. It's a small cul-de-sac in the Milky Way galaxy. There exists an estimated 1,000 billion stars, or 1 trillion stars, in our galaxy alone. Our sun is among the smaller of the billions that exist. However, our location in the Milky Way galaxy is incredibly unique. We are out of range of asteroid belts that are hurling void rocks the size of our star through space. We are protected from the solar flares of red dwarfs and blue giants. We're on the opposite side of the galaxy from neutron stars and suspected black holes. We are in what is called the Goldilocks zone, an area in the Milky Way that is protected from massive catastrophe, permitting a solar system like ours to produce a habitable space that is not too cold and not too hot. A few million miles closer to Venus and we would be cooked. A few million miles in the opposite direction towards Mars and we would freeze. In case you are wondering, the surface temperature of Mars is negative 81 degrees Fahrenheit. It's about what it felt like last night. Now get this. Follow me on this. If we were to calculate a percentage within the space of the Milky Way galaxy that was actually fit for human life, I could begin with 0.0. And we could go around in a circle and everyone can add a zero to that number and we still would not be able to have a correct measurement of how much of the Milky Way galaxy is actually fit for human life. God put us exactly where we needed to be. We're reminded in Acts 17 that the God who made the whole world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. Amen. He marked out our appointed times in history and the boundaries of our lands. God did this so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. Did you catch that? Yeah. Sometimes we think that God put me in New Jersey, 1995, in dirty Jersey. Oh, wow, of all the places I could have been. Could have been in California in the 70s, my hippie soul. But if you think about it, I don't even know if Paul was referring to nations and lands, but maybe he was referring to places in the universe. It says that God determined exactly when and where you would be so that you could exist. And because you exist, You were created so that you could reach out to him and find him, though he's never been far from you. I believe it would take more faith. It would take
fight the bear.
It would take more faith to believe that where we are and where we live was an accident than to believe that there was a designer behind it all. Amen. I've heard that it was said that the probability of our earth being created, preserved, and to have developed intelligent life is about equal to if a luxury watch was disassembled, placed in a bag, and shook until put back together. That's about the chance of us having our existence. One last one. If you weren't feeling small yet, in 1985, the biggest star ever recorded was discovered. Its name was Stevenson 218. It's believed to be 2,150 times the size of our sun. Stevenson is huge. And out of God's mouth, it was created. Now let's put Stevenson in perspective. If we put a U.S. quarter, if we used a U.S. quarter, 25 cents, to represent the size of our earth. So imagine this, our earth is represented by the size of a flat quarter. To compare to the size of Stevenson 218, we could take all those quarters and spread them across this field that we're staying in and cover every square inch. If we did that, we would then have to cover the field nearly 6 feet deep with quarters. That is the size of one planetary body. Who are we that God is mindful of us, that he cares, that he knows the hairs on your head, that he knows who you are and your feelings and your tears, your joys and your celebrations, the good times and the bad times. Who are we that God cares? We are one quarter in a field that is filled 6 feet deep with quarters, and he knows exactly where you are. In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to close here. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul says, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. With a mind that is set above, put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, because you exist in a galaxy far bigger than your earthly nature, put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. As God's chosen people, you are not an accident. Amen. You are not accidentally here. God has moved the universe to choose you. And you are sitting here now. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that is what you are. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul says something very simple. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. When we remember that we are a blue little dot that is indetectable in a galaxy that really doesn't mean anything in the span of creation, we think about our thoughts and our feelings and our desires and our passions, but then we lift our eyes to who God is and how great he is and how powerful he is and how small we are in comparison. The gravitational pull of our earthly nature doesn't quite have the same pull. And so, brothers and sisters and friends, let us set our hearts and set our minds to remember how just great and big our Father in heaven is, yeah, and how much he cares for you. Amen?
Amen.